Stuart Mitchell says, I'm seeing more I'm hiring posts in cybersecurity over the last 30 days than I've seen the last 2 years. Here's what I'm noticing. Hiring is about to get tougher again. If you're a company, what worked for you hiring strategy in 2023 or early 2024 may not cut it in 2025. Watch out for the AI-generated resumes. This is the first hiring upswing since tools like ChatGPT became mainstream. Your perfect candidate might require a deeper vetting beyond, wow, they did the exact same thing as a competitor on paper. I'm glad the market is warming up. It's been a tough couple of years seeing so many great people struggle to find work or feel stuck in roles that they're miserable in. Right. So we hadn't actually talked about this. I think this is a good way to open the show. How was your first Afrotech?
It was cool. I actually didn't go to the conference. I was just hanging. But I had a good time. Honestly, I only did stuff on like Friday and Saturday. I wish I would have taken advantage of the other days that I was there. But TT was tired, so TT was asleep early those days during the week. But now that I kind of got a taste for it, I feel like that's kind of what I needed to allow me to plan better, you know, next time. Like, I'll make sure that I'm, you know, filling out the forms for the other events that you can attend or registering well in advance. So I kind of have like, all right, this is what I'm going to do this day. This is what I'm going to do that day. And I can better plan it and time it as well. My timing wasn't off as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it was still in Houston. So the lines were down the street and around the corner.
Oh, yeah. I know when I went 2 years ago to Austin, I got down there early Sunday because I already knew what it would be on the Monday. So we'll be there next year with not a suite of the conference, but some type of hotel suite. So we could do some Gillian Wallow style type content where people are like, yo, it actually kind of sounds wild if people don't know who you are. Like, you trying to come back to the room and record?
I seen someone doing Pop the Balloon Tech Edition.
I'm familiar with her. I know who it is. I saw it. I was like, y'all doing too much. But I get it. You know, when content sales, you want to ride the wave of just staying relevant. So, I mean, people would watch, but for the most part, I think that's overdoing it. I forgot. You should have said some. I know you told me you was going, but you should have said some. I definitely probably could have got you to connect to getting a convention or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a little bit of pool.
Bummer.
That's the sucky part. It's not like a reunion, but low key. It kind of is, because everybody who's interconnected from like LinkedIn or Twitter or this type of content, they typically go to Afrotech or whatever, and they're like, yo, you gonna be there? Or somebody texts, hey, you here? I'm like, man, not this year. But next year, I'm definitely trying to do a lot more conferences.
I was able to see a lot of people in cyber. Put a face to name. Not that I actually had a lot of conversation with folks, but I was able to pinpoint and spot a lot of people, especially women, that are in cyber. So I thought that was pretty dope instead of just virtually seeing folks all the time. I was going to say something else. Oh, if anything, I can't give a take for the content because I didn't actually go to the conference, but if anything, I think it was very refreshing for the culture, just to kind of be around, you know, your community, people who are either doing what you're doing or interested in doing something similar to what you do. I thought it was very, very refreshing. And I think that if you don't even go to the conference, it'd be dope just to come hang out, hit a couple mixers, just see some folks and be able to chit chat.
That's for sure. I know, like, who was it? I think the cool thing is, like, I had people that's been on the show that got to speak. So that was cool. And I put on Morgan DeBond's post on LinkedIn. I was like, yo, I want to speak next year. Because I've already pitched to speak. So I'm just like, what I got to do to speak more? So all in all, I'm glad people had a good time. They're the naysayers. We found out I was talking to somebody, like, so, I think I showed you the tweet, didn't I?
Which one?
So me and my boy was going back and forth about he was just being he's like, to me, Clyde reminds me of like the tech version of Charleston White, because he'll always make people uncomfortable with his takes. But he's typically always saying a lot of stuff that people may be thinking. Let me see. Because I sent it to you. It was, here you go. He said, nurses going to Afrotech. That's how I know it ain't about the tech. That thing got 617 reposts, 527 quotes, 5,793 likes, and 610 bookmarks.
To be fair, my friend did tell me he talks to a lot of nurses, and he actually went to the conference. He said that there were a lot of nurses there. And then my cousin, who actually lives in Houston, said that Houston has a ton of nurses.
Yes.
Way more than, you know, your average city would have. So I don't know. Are they trying to get into tech or?
So I said, maybe trying to transition. He said, ain't no networking being done, but some networking. You know this. he was clowning, man. He was clowning. I mean, all in all, I ain't mad at it. Listen, RIP to the Godfather. He would always tell the women, like, hey, you want these successful men, but do you know where they be at? So the women was like, hey, I know that's where the successful men going to be at. So, I mean, hopefully maybe got another Afrotech love story. That's pretty, you know, it is.
It was men out there on the same tip, too.
Oh, yeah. It's always like that. And then the thing that people was trying to tell people is like, this is just not an Afrotech thing. Like, literally, any conference, that's what it's on. Like, if you go to them vendor parties, they be. Like, if people go back and listen to the episode I did with Greg Richardson when he was talking about back in the, like, 10, 15 years ago with them having the drugs and everything at the parties and going hard and them tech parties at these conferences. So I don't want y'all to think, like, this is just something, like, Afrotech related, because, you know, it's just popular. It's a thing to talk about that week. A lot of people have never went, don't have no aspirations to go. They just making content on it. It's one of them Chris Browns, how you going to hate from outside the club when you can't even get in type of moments.
I think people are so hard on Afrotech too. At the end of the day, you know how it is when we get together. It's not going to be like it is when other folks get together. So I feel like there's no grace for that. There's no space for it. I love being able to see, like, us just really thrive and flourish in our natural elements around, you know, our community. Like I said, I can't speak for the content, but all in all, I think someone told me, or I seen somewhere, they had, like, there were about 35,000 people who were in Houston for the conference. So that's just, like, a ton of people.
Yeah.
A large group.
And then people were trying to lump regular Houston Ratchet Activity with Afrotech. And I'm like, nah, y'all in Houston, this ain't Austin. Y'all are in Houston this time. Just because you see some stuff, that don't mean it's Afrotech. Because it was like,
yeah.
Somebody recorded some chicks. They was, like, twerking in, like, a party van or something like that. And they were trying to say, oh, yeah, this is Afrotech. And these was like, I guarantee it's just some regular Houston stuff. That's, like, what you'll find anywhere in some type of city like that. So,
yeah, we got to chill out on our folks. Like, the conference is for us, by us. So just relax. Like, relax. This isn't cyber. What's the cyber one?
It's a lot of them. What you got? A little Black Hat?
Dark Black Hat. This isn't Black Hat. So stop talking about it like it's Black Hat. It's not the same thing.
Yeah. But I mean, plus.
I would say it's a more of a culture conference with some tech in there.
Yeah. But I think they're trying to get better. I think they said they're going to have more breakout sections next year. I think one of the things that they can probably do, like I've said in my videos, is like, hey, if they're able to get some people, like if they're, well, Comptia got bought out, but if they're able to get like Pearson View or some other people that say, hey, if you want to get your certifications, you can do it here. If they're able to do some stuff like that, I think it'll start being a little bit more worthwhile. Or say, hey, if you come early, we'll have these sessions, or you can take these beta tests. Like, for example, at Splunk conference, what they were doing was that, granted, it's a Splunk conference, so they had the beta test for the Splunk Blue Team certification, whatever it was, but you can go take that. And you can take it for free. And then if you pass it, you can get it.
I think the future for Afrotech would definitely be live and lit. I heard that this year AI was embedded everywhere. So at least they are, you know, on track and trend with what is actually going on in the industry. But I think the future for it could be awesome. I definitely do. I think it's going to be in Houston again next year. And it's around, it's Halloween weekend, I seen, okay. Which is going to be crazy.
I think I'm going to just go ahead and probably just book something for that time and just get a like cheap room. That way, if
the tickets are cheaper too.
Even if I end up going, I could like give to somebody and let them go. Like I could make turn into a giveaway or something. I don't know. It's some crap. I got a lot of stuff in the works for next year.
We're gonna be there for sure though next year, live. Yeah.
And I know you've been busy, but I want to see if you got a chance to watch Cross. Have you got a chance to watch Cross?
I'm not done. I'm on like episodes 5 or 6. I'm gonna try to finish today. So good.
What you call it? But did you see my seat get highlighted though?
No, maybe not.
Do you?
I fell asleep on the middle of the last episode, whichever one I was watching.
It's like episode 2. Bobby went to the man and said, "Hey, what y'all know about them Shreveport stuffed shrimp?" The man that's making the stuffed shrimp.
Oh yeah, and why? What is wrong? He act like man boy. Is that his name from Snowball? Snowfall. Like, Lord Jesus, Snowfall. Immediately, yes. But he acts more like a coked out version of man boy. Like man boy, don't forget, he was a lunatic for a long time.
I had to go back and like, I think a lot of the Snowfall episodes run together for me. So I'm going to have to do like a deep dive and like rewatch everything.
I was watching them with my wife and I was like, I'm scared of him. He literally made me uncomfortable. Even just watching him on TV, I was like, I don't even know what I would do if like I was in someone's presence and they was acting like that. It was too much. But he played that character so well, so well.
He did good enough to where they can make a season 2 off of Bobby because nobody knows where he is. It's not like that's not like a spoiler or nothing like that, but it's just in general. I think he served his purpose and then he didn't. The last couple of episodes, it's all about, you know, I still do not know where the main protagonist, I mean, antagonist, what I know him off of, but he's killing his role.
The white dude?
Yes. He's smoking.
I know him from something. I'm going to look his name up.
He's smoking a role.
He makes me uncomfortable too.
Oh, funny enough, the guy who's playing Bobby, his real name is Jenny Ray Gill. Let's see. So this is him reacting to my comment on Facebook.
That plays Bobby?
Yeah. Let me see. There we go.
Who is Bobby?
Jenny Ray Gill. Look at the screen.
No, I seen it. I'm saying, what character is that?
That's the black dude that you said act like man boy.
Oh, okay. Can't remember his name. I just know he was a loony. When he was next door, I'll just save it. But just know he absolutely put fear in my heart. For sure. Like,
to even go back into why I brought it up. So we have Favorite Stuff Shrimp and Shreveport. You got Freeman Brothers and you had Pete Harris. Then you had Brother Seafood now Orlando's. So it's like, what, 3 or 4 generations? And so he posted it. He was like, yo, they talking about our shrimp on thing. And Johnny Ray Gill was like, hey, I insisted that we leave that party in there. And he was like, hey, is this going to live up to the Ratchet City name? Like, so we was like, all the people from Shreveport was like, oh, yeah, they showing us like a lot of love. Like, so shout out to the actors on there. My guy, I forgot what the main actor is, but we be joking. We was like, he was like, he's dressed like Marquise.
The dude is from Blacklist. I think that's where I remember him from. I think he you never seen it? Mm-mm. You would like it. You would eat it up. First episode, what have you.
I still got to go back and do the either Patreon series for the Night Agent. Like, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we definitely got to go back and do that. I don't know if it's going to be like mini series where it's not a full episode, but we definitely got to go back and watch it.
From season finale came on. I didn't watch it yet. Planning to watch it today, but I've been seeing a lot of chatter about it on Facebook. People are saying that it was really good. You need to tap in 4 seasons.
Man, I'd be trying to watch stuff that's quick. Like, I knew Cross was going to be a quick watch. Because stuff that's a lot of seasons keeps me having to keep on watching.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot of episodes, though. I think it's only like 8 each season.
Yo, if you're looking for a way to start your cybersecurity career, then check out Josh Matacor's course at Level Careers. He has a great cybersecurity course targeted for beginners, very affordable. And if you're familiar with Josh Matacor, he's also a brilliant YouTuber and puts out a lot of helpful content. So
here are some of the reasons why you can choose cybersecurity: high demand, job security, competitive salary, work variety, and fulfilling work. The national average salary of an information security analyst is $113,000. Overview of the course: theory introduction, security refresher, security frameworks, security regulations and standards, security operations signals. Then you have these great labs with Azure, logging and monitoring, Microsoft Sentinel, secure cloud configuration
content. So if you're interested in that course, click the link in my bio and use my code to get 10% off your course.
Welcome back to the Textual Talk Podcast. I'm your host, HD, and we got Cyber Shorty with us today. And we giving y'all that content that y'all like to watch us for. If you listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or auto streaming services, leave us a comment, review, share it out. Y'all know the rest. And if you watch it on YouTube, subscribe. And if you're a person that always watches the content and don't subscribe, I need you to subscribe and share it out. We're trying to hit some milestones on the channel, so I need y'all to do that. We're waking up early to record this content for y'all, so at least y'all can do is hit the like button. That's all y'all got to do. It don't cost you nothing. But now let's get into some of this cool tech content and the things that's been happening in the world, and hopefully we're grabbing like all the important stuff that's happened. So, Destiny, I'll put it on you.
All right, let me go ahead and share my screen. So I have an article. It says new ghost tap attack abuses NFC mobile payments to steal money. So cyber criminals have devised a novel method to cash out from stolen credit card details linked to mobile payment systems such as Apple Pay, Google Pay, dubbed Ghost Tap, which relays NFC card data to money mules worldwide. So this tactic builds upon the methods previously deployed by mobile malware like Engate, documented by ESET in August, which involved relaying NFC signals from payment cards. Ghost Tap is more obfuscated. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And more challenging to detect, does not require the card or the victim's device, does not need continual victim interchange, and involves money mules on multiple remote locations interacting with point of sale systems. So mobile security firm Threat Fabric discovered Ghost Tap, which warns about the increasing adoption and potential of the new tactic. So the first step in the attack is to steal the data of payment cards and intercept one-time passwords needed for virtual wallet enrollment on Apple Pay and Google Pay. Stealing the payment card data can be accomplished through banking malware that displays overlays that mimic digital payment apps, or through phishing pages and keylogging. OTPs can be stolen through social engineering or by malware that monitors text messages. In the previous Engate-based attacks, the victim needed to be tricked into scanning their card using their device's NFC system using specialized malware that guided them through this process. The tool is still used to relay payment card information. However, a relay server is placed in between, sending the details to an extensive network of money mules while hiding their actual locations. The mules then perform retail purchases at scale in multiple locations using their device's NFC chip, making it hard to map the fraud network or trace the primary attacker. In the attacks, the threat actors were limited to small contactless payments and ATM withdrawals that risked their anonymity and even led to arrest in some cases. With the new Ghost Tap operation, the threat actors are no longer conducting ATM withdrawals. Instead, they only conduct point of sale cash outs and spread them among a wide network of mules worldwide. So basically, that hides the trail of the main operation of their malicious activity, only putting the mules at risk.
Can you open the image?
Let's see. Yes.
Okay. I thought that was pretty cool for people to kind of see the image.
So we got the attacker opening up the wallet and introducing it to the reader. They're waiting for a response for that payment. That response is forwarded to the relay server. The server forwards that response to the transmitter, which then sends it to the terminal. So once they pay or they receive the request for payment, it will go ahead and transmit that request to the point of sale system and then forward the data to the attacker's device. Pretty concerning because I am a tap girly, you know, yeah. Leaving a house with Apple Cards and Vibe, Apple Pay and Vibes.
Yeah, because a good thing about from what I know about using NFC, Apple Pay, whatever you want to call it, is that it's not, technically it's not the same number as your physical card. They change it.
Yeah, it is. Yep. It is. So just to conclude this, Threat Fabric warns that the new tactic is challenging for financial institutions to detect and stop as the transactions appear legitimate and span multiple locations. While many banks' anti-fraud mechanisms detect purchases from unusual locations, such as if you're traveling to another country, the researchers say the numerous small payments may bypass these detections. So, yeah, that's the article. I don't know. I'm concerned.
I mean, I think everybody should. It's a lot of things that's happening now technology-wise that people are not too privy to. So,
you think that we'll go away from tap to something else? I don't know what something else will be.
Probably so. I mean, eventually. I think it'll always be a different way to pay, to upgrade payments and things of that nature. But I think the good thing about the tap is that they're always working on stuff and figuring things out. Because I still think it's a safer way than inserting your card. So
immediately. Quicker, too.
Right. And that's the thing, the way for them to do this is something got to be on your phone and to get the information when you're making payments. So it's not a complicated attack vector, but you have to at least be some type of way compromised in order for it to be successful. So I don't think most people won't fall for some of the stuff that happens on here, but you just never know. But like, it's so much crap that happens with cars and everything. Like the other day, I got a call on my work phone about I'm doing air quotes with my corporate Amex card. And I'm just like, I don't use that card. The card's only used unless I go do travel for work or something. And so they were like, is this so-and-so? Hey, we for Friday activity on your Amex. I'm like, this don't make sense. So I went and checked my my work email about that. And I didn't see anything from Amex on there. So I was just like, whatever. Because I know Amex had some type of small breach or something a while back. So that's kind of like tying into like all the stuff, how stuff can start snowballing when it comes to people's data being protected.
Now just think about if you were like in a panic.
Oh yeah.
Like where that could have taken the situation. If you were like, oh my God, freaked out. Not saying like you weren't, obviously you took a look into it, so you know, you gave it some consideration, but like what if you were in actual panic?
No, for real. But like, think about what if this was the beekeeper? Like, think about how they got her.
Ooh, they got her good. They got her good. They got her good. They got her so good, she killed herself.
Yeah, because that was a lot of money.
And at her age, explaining that out was sick. It was just not going to be a good situation.
Mm-hmm. Side note, I don't know if the viewers really got a chance to see my shirt right here.
He doesn't even go here.
You know, Giselle says that like all the time. I'm like, this is weird here. I was always planning to wear it in person, but I was like, bump it. I'm just going to put it on because I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to wear it. But
it's a classic.
Yeah, it is. I've been watching like a, this is random, but for me as a millennial parent, I actually try not to let my kids watch as much as the new cartoons. Like we watch a Paw Patrol, Peppa Pig, or Bluey. But after that, outside of that, we go watch old stuff. So for whatever reason, the girls have taken a liking to Garfield and Friends.
And I've heard that a lot on TikTok. A lot of the parents with, you know, younger kids are saying that the new shows leave their babies really overstimulated. There's too much. I don't know the word, but the scenes are just too fast, too quick for the kids, the colors, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, that's what if you're a new parent or about to be a new parent, like don't introduce your baby to Coco Melon because that's literally what Coco Melon does.
Oh my gosh.
But it will have your baby just watching it the whole time and don't give them a, if you give them a tablet, don't let them have access to it. Speaking of my little, my child, that's definitely my child. I'm like, okay, I might have to go ahead and put you in some cyber boot camps. We have taken YouTube off their tablets, like the app, YouTube Kids. Because it's funny, there was some other TikTok video I saw the other day where I guess some type of video slick on YouTube Kids where it's like a dragon telling kids to go kill themselves or whatever. But it's not on there. So they normally just have like these education games on there to play. So one day I'm walking out and I'm hearing a show or something that I'm like, this don't sound like something on one of them apps. What's going on? So the oldest was on Safari and figured out how to go YouTube on Safari and was watching YouTube. And I was like, where you learn this from? So I pretty much mitigated that. Yeah. But I was just like, kids are like, kids going to be kids the same way. Around them proxies and stuff in high school. So I was just like, man, that's
fun. All you got to know is what the little logo looked like. And
right.
Easy. Have you noticed, two questions. Have you noticed them being calmer watching older shows? And the second question did they ever watch Gracie's? No, not Gracie's. What's the lady name?
Miss Rachel?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we started. So, I mean, we started everybody off kind of with Miss Rachel because, I mean, my first daughter, she didn't really go to school and stuff like that. So, like, a lot of people started their daughter kids off watching Miss Rachel. They felt like they weren't talking enough or whatever. And it was almost in a sense, she's not a licensed, you know, speech pathologist. But in so many ways, it did help out a lot.
Miss Rachel's allowed in the house.
Yeah, for sure. Her, Miss Monica, it's other people. Anybody that's helping, like, it benefits a child to see people's mouths move because that's how they figure out how to imitate sounds and work. Also, if your child is not, I know it's a tech show, but like I said, if your child isn't talking by a certain age, make sure you have a good pediatrician that's telling you look into things. Like my second daughter, she's been to speech probably the last couple of months because she had a tongue tie, and we should have went to a specialist that told us like the tongue tie was worse than what it was. The pediatrician is not a specialist in that. So they just, and was like, we don't know. The dentist was even like, you know, you probably need to get that looked at, and we should have did it more. And what that means is based on how big or thick it is, it can prevent the way that they can do their tongue, and it will, mess up the way that they start talking. And so they'll talk around ways they do versus what they would normally do if their tongue moved up and down like that. So my second daughter is getting used to moving her tongue in different ways. For 3 years, her tongue was a certain way, and that can make it hard to communicate. Like you'll see,
Is it bad enough to where they want to snip it?
No, it got snipped.
So she's learning now to utilize it. Gotcha.
Yeah, so is that because what made us look into it more was like they immediately told us Josh had one. And it was affecting him eating early on. So we got his done like ASAP. Like when he was, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it took him a little bit to kind of get used to like eating from the bottle and stuff. But like he's good. So this is some of the things like people don't really think about. But like it's a lot of stuff now. It's becoming apparent when I look at maybe people who have older kids who might have some struggles. I was like 9 times out of 10, some signs were there when they were younger and the parent just didn't know. Like a lot of times you just don't know or you don't have a good piece. We thankful for having like a really good pediatrician that tells us about a lot of stuff and different things like for the betterment of the kids. And that's another thing kids not having, just a pediatrician that actually care about the child. They just go on there and saying they went or whatever. So that's my TED talk on parenting. I'm pretty sure it'll change throughout the years as my kids get older.
Yeah.
Let me see. I thought this one was pretty cool. I thought I had it on the list, but it's like how Scattered Spider hacked some of the world's biggest tech giants and got caught. So after evading capture for more than 2 years following a hacking spree that targets some of the world's biggest tech companies, U.S. authorities said they have finally caught at least some of the hackers responsible. In August 2022, security researchers went public with the warning that a group of hackers had targeted over 130 organizations as part of a sophisticated phishing campaign that stole the credentials of almost 10,000 employees. The hackers were specifically targeting companies that use Okta, a single sign-on provider used by thousands of companies worldwide to let their employees log in from home. Because of the focus on Okta, the hacking group was dubbed Octopus. To date, the group hacked Caesar Entertainment, Coinbase, DoorDash, MailChimp, Riot Games, Twilio, Twice, and a dozen more. For them to put that twice in there, I had to emphasize that. The hacker's most notable size cyber attack, by the way of downtime, impact was the hack against MGM Resorts in September 2023, which reportedly cost the casino and hotel giant at least $100 million. In that case, the hackers worked with Russian-speaking ransomware gang Alpha V and demanded a ransom from MGM for the company to get his files back. The hack was so disruptive that casinos owned by MGM had trouble providing services for days. For the last 2 years, as law enforcement has been closing in on the hackers, people in the cybersecurity industry tried to figure out exactly how to categorize the hackers and whether to put them in one group or another. The hackers' techniques such as social engineering, email and text message phishing, and SIM swapping are common and widespread. Some of the individual hackers were part of several groups responsible for different data breaches. These circumstances have made it difficult to understand exactly who belongs in what group. Cybersecurity giant CrowdStrike dubbed this umbrella group of hackers Scattered Spider, and researchers believe there is some overlap with Octopus. The group was so active and successful that U.S. cybersecurity agency CISA and FBI issued an advisory in late 2023 with details on the group's activities and techniques in an attempt to help organizations prepare for and defend against anticipated attacks. Scattered Spider is a cyber criminal group that targets large companies and their contractor IT help desk, CISA wrote in an advisory. The agency warned that the group have typically engaged in data theft for extortion and noted there are known links to ransomware gangs. One thing that's relatively certain is that the hackers are mostly English-speaking and widely believed to be in their teens and early 20s. I bet they ain't got 7 years of experience. And sometimes referred to as advanced persistent teenagers. That's funny. There's a disproportionate number of minors involved, and that's because the group deliberately recruits minors because of the lenient legal environment these minors exist in, and they know nothing will happen to them if the police catch a kid. Over the last 2 years, some of the members of Octopus and Scattered Spider have been linked with a similarly nebulous group of cyber criminals known as the CALM. People in this wider cybercrime community have committed crimes that crossed over into the real world. Some of them have been responsible for violent acts such as robberies, burglaries, and brickings. Hiring thugs to throw bricks at someone's house or apartment, as well as swatting, where someone tricks authorities into believing there's a violent crime happening, triggering the armed police unit to intervene. While born as a prank, swatting is known to have fatal consequences. After 2 years of hacking, authorities are finally starting to identify and charge members of Scattered Spider. Man, they got a lot going on here. In July, UK police confirmed the arrest of a 17-year-old in connection to the hack at MGM. In November, the U.S. Department of Justice announced that it had indicted five hackers, Ahmed Hassam Eldon Elbadoui, I don't even know how to say that last part, of College Station, Texas, Noah Michael Urban, 20, of Palm Coast, Florida, who had been arrested in January. Hold on, we got somebody in Dallas. Evans Onyeka Osibo. Did I say that right?
Yes, and I wonder if that is an African name.
I think it is. It's probably Nigerian.
Yeah.
I don't mean Nigerians, but it's saying Nigerian. Joel Martin Evans, 25, of Jacksonville, North Carolina, and Tyler Robert Buchanan, 22, from the United Kingdom, who was arrested in June in Spain. That's crazy, like, how close is this hitting the home? You got two
First
people.
Of all of the American names is crazy. The age ranges. I like how they said advanced, persistent teenagers. That cracked me up for sure.
Me too.
And they're not that old, clearly. Yeah. And so, like you said, they don't have 7 years of experience.
Right. And I think that's the whole issue when we come to hiring in cybersecurity. It's like, why are you requesting all this experience for people to get in when people who are breaching your systems watched a couple of YouTube videos and learned some stuff, and they are breaching your systems much faster without the experience? And I guarantee these kids, they may get into a little trouble, but they're going to get hired somewhere because of their knowledge of working with crime, like cybercrime units.
Yep.
Because we know they're not the heads of it. They're kids. They probably were saying, hey, we'll give y'all $1,000, $5,000, however much. It's not, they weren't getting a lot of money because they're kids at the time. I think the oldest person in this gang where they got roped up was 23. No, 25. I lied, the dude from Jacksonville is 25. So they may got a family. They probably getting the most money.
What's funny is I had that same article.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I saw
it. Talks more about that one. It talks more about the Evans guy.
Yeah, I saw 4 days ago. I wonder like where he's from and what school he went to out here. But no, that's interesting. That's definitely something to talk about. Especially with how these people have been like living large and they going crazy. And that's what I'm saying, because it tied into like some of my articles that I had about cybersecurity, about hiring and everything else. Like pretty much stuff I've been sent that people be wanting us to chime in on. They'd be like, hey, y'all should talk about this on the show next. I'm like, okay. I mean, send it my way. Fetty Wap. But I don't know. I like stuff like that because I think we're not telling y'all in the group that Third Intel was debriefing everybody on what we talked about a couple of weeks ago with the laptop forms and the Koreans and still people that didn't. Yeah, so that's what I was like. I'm going to reiterate myself. I was like, a lot of the stuff that we talk about, we probably are first to be talking about it. But if you work somewhere, they'll eventually get around to talking about it when they can. So I was like, you can wow somebody with talking about some of these things and just simple stuff on how they could do to not get caught by impersonations. Like, I think, I don't know if I was telling you or not, but I had a consultation with a person and they were telling me about, you know, how they were trying to get into the industry and they were doing like a lot of stuff to get in, how they had people interviewing for them, people that were blowing the interviews on purpose. But the fact that they was able to have somebody interview for them will tell you like, that's a service. Now, normally when people interview for people, they leave the camera off because
I'm like, did he just say what I thought he said? What?
Yeah, that's a service. And it's two and two together of who the people were that were doing the interviewing. I just want you to put two and two together because we just talked about them in that last thing. I'm going to put two and two together on that. And because like I said, people would do anything to take shortcuts to get in. And that's what her and I were talking about, and I was like, I get it, because that was the wave in 2020. So I wasn't shocked. So a lot of things that people tell me in calls, I'm not shocked about, because these things are old things and they are no longer working. Because
what's sad is the fact that we're in a place to where people have to even do that. Like, you can't even feel like you, because you've tried it, right? You've tried to go in, you've tried to interview yourself. Nothing landed, nothing stuck. So people are having to resort to these type of measures to get in.
Well, in this case, it's different. They're trying to circumvent starting off at the bottom and go straight lateral to a high senior level role in the industry. So, of course, they don't have enough stories to talk about, which hurts them. And they don't know how to use their transferable skills enough to that's relative to the role to sell themselves. So that's what they was running into. But I sent them to a friend of mine that got them right, and we believe that they should be anticipating the offer soon. But it's the fact when you get with these people and you spent so much money, That's another thing too. Like my recent snippet that's going like crazy on, well, not crazy, crazy, but on TikTok and everywhere else is, I asked Kayla, that was last week's guest, and she was talking about, hey, what's your controversial tech take? She was like, don't pay for no boot camp. And start laughing. And then we just start talking about the boot camps and stuff like that. But the thing is, people are paying a lot of money for the boot camps, but they're not really researching them. And the person we were talking about, she paid like, what did she pay? Like 10K or something like that over the years, and wasn't able to get in yet. She paid me for a consult, then my friend for their services. And she's like that much closer. And I was like, why am I charging so low? Because people see my testimonials. I think this year I probably got how many people out here double their salary, and they getting a crazy return on investment. And I ain't charging nowhere near no 10K, and you get better results.
I just got in distress real quick when you just said that, because it is people who are out here taking out loans and borrowing money and taking money from their 401k to try to get somewhere, and they get nowhere. Like, oh my God, the thought of paying, like, I know this is not, I pray this isn't happening, but like the thought of paying $1,000 to learn Security Plus or what, I'm just throwing that out there as one.
No,
like,
that's true.
The thought of paying $1,000, even $500 for some, y'all, please just ask somebody before you start, ask somebody what they think. You know, just ask someone that you trust in the field. What are your thoughts and opinions of this boot camp? Because a lot of the times when I'm looking at stuff like that, I'm like, you're not even getting nothing out of this.
Yeah, and that,
you can't even show me what you said, what you claim I'm getting. Like, I'm not saying you have to give me the documents or whatever it is, but like, be careful.
Yeah, no, you'll see, like, in my episode that I did with Miranda, I actually showed her I'm going to show y'all in the audience right now. It was this guy I had a consult with, like, maybe like 2 years ago. He said he did some type of boot camp in Dallas. It was, like, I think he said $10,000. This is the resume he got from that boot camp.
Wait. Tap it. Oh, wait, it's coming. Bye. That's it?
Yes.
Boy, ain't no way. No tools, no nothing. Bye.
Man, look, I was just like, bro. But that's the thing, though. Like, so I tell people all the time, I don't care what the thing costs, as long as you're getting a benefit, an outcome from it, and you're strategic with it. Like, for example, a lot of times people will be on Mr. Man for his PCI bootcamp, but there are people that have found success with it because they did whatever it took and they've been able to do something with it. So I'm not going to say, hey, this is what's going on. A lot of people just shouldn't know I did it because, hey, you don't have no experience. Your acumen to go to that route is not that good. And you got to be realistic about yourself. And that's another thing too. A lot of people aren't realistic about themselves, and that's why they're down. And the boot camps only kind of give you some linear things. Only a certain, I'll probably say boot camps for more engineering type roles are better than, like, if you want to do like more like GRC or analyst type stuff, because based on the wide variance stuff you need to know, it's not a lot of things where you may be asked the same thing at every role. Or if you find boot camps may give you like some legitimate hands-on skills with like different tools that you have to use in these roles, I think those are better versus, like you said, the ones that's trying to give you the trifecta for $5,000 when you can pay less than probably $1,000, if not right at $1,000, get all three yourself. But the thing is too, like me and Lee talk about, like Lee's talking about, like he's sitting in the interviews now, like just getting the certs don't really mean anything because all you do is just pass it. So it is different. I just say get with people who are honest, who have a track record of, you can look their testimonials up. Like, I pride myself on like everybody who can have a testimonial. You can go find them on LinkedIn. You can go talk to them for yourself. Or I do episodes with past clients for that very reason, for you to see that. But it's like, so you'll see, oh, the price is the price, and this is what you're paying for, but this is what you get out of it. So that's like a long little kind of like side thing, but this is like,
I have a take too. I feel like sometimes I feel like working in cybersecurity or having, I don't know what to say, but I feel like it can be compared to having a criminal justice degree. Working in cyber can be a struggle to get started, just like if you have a criminal justice degree, a couple of things. You don't actually need a degree 9 times out of 10 to do, to work in criminal justice. If you want to be a police officer, go to the police academy. If you want to do law, get a law degree, but a lot of times those jobs don't necessarily require you to have that skill set. So I feel like because I came from that world and I also came to cyber and still kind of struggled initially to land, I feel like that's the best comparison I can come up with. If you know what a criminal justice degree is, if you have one, sociology, same thing, they cousins. It's the same thing when you get a cyber degree. It's like, it's just kind of broad. It's general. It's not necessarily super specific unless you choose a specification. Just like with criminal justice, like law is a, you get what I'm saying? You got to be more specific though.
No, I disagree. I think it's like that. I think,
like what's I said, the guy's name that you interviewed who does the seam stuff? Oh, I can't think of his name. Fire. What he's doing, that's something you go and pay for.
Yeah.
That's a skill set you can actually gain and utilize and talk about in an interview, not a $5,000 boot camp, you coming out with nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Or stuff like this, whatever. Even that, and we talked about, we tell people to be leery of just thinking because a college slaps their names on it that it's a good boot camp. That don't necessarily mean it is. I got all type of people that were in those comments. I mean,
even and that it's separate too. I'm glad you said that because most of the time it's separate. Like for example, if SMU has like a cyber program, right, and they do have some some certs and stuff you can get. That doesn't mean that that's attached to the cyber org or the networking org. That doesn't mean that someone who works for those organizations is actually linked and connected to the curriculum that they're learning here. So you definitely have to be careful because it's like two different branches, two different worlds.
Yeah, I interviewed with them, what was that, late 2020, 2021 to like be a instructor. So nah, trust me. It's a whole bunch of fugazi stuff that's out there, like different things, but you just gotta know, get good people. Like right now, I got a lot of cool things now. Like I'm starting this technically, like if people become clients or get certain services for me, like a free internship, but I have it worked in a way to where I'm gonna have real tasks and stuff for you to do that you would do on a job. It's typically more blue team stuff, so let me write on your resume and then you get
it doesn't matter though, it's something that you can put on your resume that you actually did.
I'm doing a trial one. And one of the clients was like, thanks for actually showing me this because I wanted to go this route. But now I'm much more interested in like SIM engineering because I had to go set up my own Sentinel instance and I had to do this and put these logs in here. I'm like, yeah, I'm showing you different things that I'm not really helping them. They'll ask me questions, but I'm not really helping them with it because this is going to be foundational building for you in interviews. When you talk about, when they say, oh, you got a home lab? Yeah, I built out this. And so I had to do this and I went here and I put this there and I learned how to do this there. So you're going to be pretty much selling yourself like, okay, you're a self-starter. You don't need that much help. You've been able to figure all this stuff out. And I was like, Shay, and I'll show them like, hey, you even can demo it if they let you in the interview. I'm like, look, this is what I got going here. Here are the rules I made. These are the tickets I did or these change tickets. Like, all different type of stuff that I've accumulated like over this decade of experience, I'm going to input into them so they could be better than the average person who just went and did try hack me and stuff. So I'm going to show you the skills that go along with like working because it's not so straightforward that all you do is do your work. You got to interact with people in the business.
Well, let me know how to promote that because I know some folks that would actually love to be a part of that.
Once I get a couple of people that's like successful with it, it'll be something I'm more widely advertised for because I have to put out the framework for it. So I already had a task set up versus right now it's ad hoc, but I got to write different stuff I just have to do. Like I'm setting up the ticketing system and some other stuff I got to do in there today.
Cool.
We won't cover because I don't think we got no TikToks today, which I don't think we'll cover those. Well, this will be the first time we'll probably do no TikToks. But I think I think the next article is on you, actually.
Okay, so Palo Alto Networks Warren hackers are breaking into its customers' firewalls again. Malicious hackers have compromised potentially thousands of organizations by exploiting two new zero-day vulnerabilities found in widely used software made by cybersecurity giant Palo Alto Networks. Security researchers at Palo Alto Networks said that they have observed a limited set of exploitation activity related to the two vulnerabilities. In PAN-OS, the operating system that runs on all of Palo Alto's next-gen firewalls, the bugs are considered zero-day because the company has had no time to release patches before the bugs were exploited. The company said it observed exploitation of the two bugs, including CVE 2024-0012, which allows an attacker with network access to the management web interface to gain administrator privileges, while the second bug, tracked as CVE 2024-9474, allows an attacker to perform actions on the compromised firewall with higher root privileges. When these vulnerabilities are used together, an attacker can remotely plant malicious code on affected firewalls with the highest possible privileges, allowing for deeper access to a company's network. Palo Alto's network says attackers are now using their own functional exploit chaining, the two flaws together to target a limited number of device management web interfaces exposed to the internet. According to the Shadow Server Foundation, a nonprofit organization that scans and monitors the internet for vulnerability exploitation, hackers have already compromised more than 2,000 affected Palo Alto network firewalls by leveraging the two recently patched flaws. The nonprofit found that the highest number of compromised devices was, of course, located in the United States, followed by India, with hackers also exploiting firewalls across the United Kingdom, Australia, and China. Palo Alto Networks declined to confirm how many firewalls have been compromised when asked by TechCrunch. U.S. cybersecurity company Arctic Wolf said this week that its researchers also observed hackers exploiting the two vulnerabilities as early as November 19th to break into customer networks. Upon successful exploitation, we have observed the threat actors attempting to transfer tools into the environment and exfiltrate configuration files from the compromised devices. It looks like Palo Alto Network did release patches for those two vulnerabilities and urged organizations to patch as soon as possible. U.S. cybersecurity agent CISA has also added the two vulnerabilities to its known exploited vulnerabilities catalog, which orders civilian federal agencies to patch their systems within a 3-week window. According to researchers at the security firm Watchtower Labs, who reverse engineered Palo Alto's patches, the flaw resulted from basic mistakes in the development process. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes.
The second thing, vulnerability that's been going on with the Palo Alto firewalls this year.
Yeah, the gag is that it's not just one 0 day, it's two. Yeah. One is bad enough. You add another one to the equation. Yikes. It's a little spicy over there.
But one thing I like about Palo Alto, they're pretty good at letting you know, hey, we got this vulnerability going on. Here's the workaround. Funny enough, these are things that you're asked in interviews. Hey, how would you mitigate a 0 day exploit that you know that you're vulnerable for? Like, what would you do?
And knowing where to look is key too.
Knowing where to look. Like I said,
forget if you don't even know what to do. Do you know where to go look? What are some places you can go look?
Well, but think about it. If you don't have experience, like even doing response measures with this, working with vulnerability management and IT teams and server teams and like all these different things, you don't have no stories to pull from. Like even a scenario is like, oh, well, your suggestion is this, but one of the guys on IT thinks like your stuff is wrong. How would you kind of get past that? Those conflict resolution skills. Like, that's why when we were just talking about earlier, like, what's going to separate people that get help from me is I'll show you how to interact and be an actual employee that engages with different stakeholders. That's what, like, all the other all the other technical content out there doesn't show you. Those are things that you're going to have to learn. And if you come in a little bit better prepared, you'll be better as an employee.
Yeah, definitely knowing when to phone a friend and who to phone as the friend at work to help you or, you know, remediate, whatever.
Even not at work, you can tell them, hey, look, I got a system network. Maybe I don't got the resources here, but I have friends in the industry that I can say, hey, have you ever read into this? How do I do X, Y, Z? Because people do it all the time. So
people do it all the time. All the time. I love that. I love that. I love that piece of it. Have you ever, what would you do type of situations with your friends who actually understand the context behind what you're talking to them about? It's a game changer.
Right. Let me jump on this this next one because I think this is pretty cool. This is for my Mac users. Hey, get you a Mac because they don't get viruses. Get you a Mac. Get you a Mac. I have a Mac, by the way. I think it's about time to upgrade to an M4. I think everybody's going to get like an upgraded Mac probably in the house or something pretty soon. Apple says Mac users targeted in 0-day cyber attacks. Or a Mac Mini, actually. Apple released security updates on Tuesday that it says are recommended for all users after fixing a pair of security bugs using active cyber attacks targeting Mac users. In a security advisory on its website, Apple said it was aware of two vulnerabilities that may have been actively exploited on Intel-based Mac systems. Oh, that's me. The bugs are considered zero-day vulnerabilities because they were unknown to Apple at the time they were exploited. To fix the bugs, Apple released a software update for macOS as well as fixes for the iPhones and iPads, including users running the older iOS 17 software. It is not yet known who is behind the attacks targeting Mac users or how many Mac users have been targeted or if any were successfully compromised. The vulnerabilities were reported by security researchers at Google's Threat Analysis Group, which investigates government-backed hacking and cyber attacks, suggesting that a government actor may be involved in the attacks. Government-backed cyber attacks sometimes involve the use of commercial phone spyware. As for the bugs themselves, Apple said the vulnerabilities relate to the WebKit and JavaScript core, the web engines that power the Safari browser and for running web content. WebKit is a frequent target of malicious hackers who target the engine for vulnerabilities as a way to break into the device's wider software and tap into the user's private data. The security advisory says the bugs can be exploited by tricking vulnerable Apple devices into processing maliciously crafted web content, such as a website or the email, to trigger arbitrary code execution, which can allow the planting of malware on the target's device. Users should update their iPhones and iPads and Macs as soon as possible. Apple did not comment when contacted by TechCrunch on Tuesday. So that was a short article, but yet informative because I deal with so many. Well, first of all, guys, let me show y'all. I went back to Android. And I'm always telling my friends, hey, please update to iOS 18 so we can have good conversations and not have SMS and MMS.
You can. Oh, my gosh. Update your phones, please. Not even just because of that. Just update your phone.
That's the thing. People do not update their phones. Like, I don't have no space. You don't have no space. Like, it's a thing. Let me see if I got it in here that you can use. So here it is. No, that's not it. Is this it? Okay, so if you run out of space, I got this like thing from SanDisk. If you got the old phone, you plug it in like this. And now you can like put all your photos and stuff on it. And you can keep it like that. Like there are ways to mitigate all this space stuff. So
I was gonna say something about vulnerability. Working in vulnerability management, it is like trying to catch rain. It's like you are outside in the middle of a thunderstorm trying to fill up a mason jar. And that mason jar is like the stuff that's like really, really important. But all of the rain around you also matters as well. And you need to do something about that as well. It's the vulnerabilities never stop. They never stop. They never stop.
Stop.
No, seriously. They don't stop coming. And it's like as soon as the team patches what you give them, then here goes some more. And even on top of what you give them, there might be some 0-day stuff that you need to make top priority. So it's, we talk a lot about vulnerabilities and stuff, but it's really tricky working in vulnerability management. It's really tricky to stay on top of every Tuesday.
Past Tuesday.
You know, so it's a lot. It's easier said than done for sure. And even still, you have to, depending on what the culture is, a lot of the times you are, I don't want to say arguing, but like there's, it's some tension between what you're telling folks to do and what they want to do. Cause they don't want to do it. They don't want to patch the systems. They don't want to buy a new server. They want to keep doing what they've been doing. So it's just not easy, smooth sailing.
Oh, I got it. I got exactly what I was going to say. Did you get a chance to watch that video I sent in the group of the Tanium, from the Tanium channel, where he was talking about breaches and how they've been happening and stuff?
I watched some of it, but I didn't watch enough of it.
Yeah, it was just an interesting thing when he called out how like people are getting hacked again by stuff that they were previously hacked by. And it's one of the things that people don't talk about a lot. And that's something like I brought up in an interview before, but I thought that was pretty cool. So I was like, I think that's a really good one to listen to. And I might try to pull some stuff out of that one. But the metrics that he had on breaches and how they happen, it's a really eye-opener, because some of them do rely over like vulnerabilities and exploits and people really not having a grasp on how an incident or something happened and trying to start back up too fast. I think that's what happened with...
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I cannot think of the company, but yes. We talked about them. It did happen with them. They came back online way too quick.
Yeah.
And they got knocked down again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, like I said, that process was pretty cool. Like, we went from like, hey, when you get legal involved, questions like, hey, when you working with legal and the board of directors, who you finna, you know, succumb to, or how you going to work with them, how you going to figure out how to mitigate that on when y'all want to put out the information. So those cool scenarios.
I have another good one. This is the cyber attack at the French hospital. I'm sharing, so you might need to push it through. Hold on. Okay.
I'll see it on it. I'm going to do a little analysis too and see, like, do people care that we screen share this stuff, or do they, what do they, you know, want to see? So I'm actually going to do some analysis on that too.
Perfect. Cyber attack at French hospital exposes health data of 750,000 patients. A data breach at an unnamed French hospital exposed the medical records of 750,000 patients after a threat actor gained access to its electronic patient record system. A threat actor using the nickname NIRS claimed to have attacked multiple healthcare facilities in France, alleging that they have access to the patient records of over 1.5 million people. The hacker claims that they breached Medibor by Software Medical Group, a company offering electronic patient record solutions across Europe. Software Medical Group has confirmed that hackers have compromised a Medibor account. However, it noted that this was not the result of a software vulnerability or misconfiguration on their part, but rather through the use of stolen credentials used by the hospital. In a letter sent to French media and shared with Bleeping Computer by Lee Max, IT Editor-in-Chief, Valerie Markive, Software Medical Group says the exposed data was not directly managed by them, but rather hosted by the hospital. On November 19th, a cyber attack was detected within a healthcare facility using the Medibor software, reads the machine translated email. We want to emphasize the affected health data. We were not hosted by Software Medical Group. So this is just a snippet of the email. It's in French. Bleeping Computer contacted Software Medical Group for clarifications on which account and at which level was compromised. We can confirm that our software is not responsible, but rather a privileged account within the client's infrastructure was compromised by an individual who exploited the standard functions of the solution. The hypothesis has been substantiated. It is therefore neither due to improper implementation of the software nor human error. Selling access to hospitals. This all unfolded after the threat actor began selling what they claimed was access to the MetaBoard platform for multiple French hospitals, including what we see here. This access allegedly will let the buyer view the hospital's sensitive healthcare and billing information, patient records, and ability to schedule and modify appointments or medical records. To prove that they gain access to the MetaBoard accounts, the hacker also put the records of 758,912 patients from an unnamed French hospital up for sale. These records allegedly contain the following information: full name, date of birth, gender, address, phone number, email, physician, prescriptions, health card history. The data was offered for purchase to three users, and currently no buyers have been declared on the sale listing. Even if the data isn't sold, there's always a risk of being leaked online for free, making it available to the broader cyber crime community. The type of data exposed in this incident raises the risk of phishing, scamming, and social engineering for impacted people. It looks like Bleeping Computer learned that all of the affected hospitals belong to a single entity. I don't know if I agree that they said it wasn't due to human error. Like, it was still due to human error. My take. Stolen credentials, human error. Yeah.
Yeah, just another day, another dollar at this point. With all the, like I said, nobody is safe. But people are smart enough not to try to buy it, which I don't believe. Somebody's trying to utilize that information and get some type of money or whatever they can get out of stuff.
I wonder what the uproar feels like in another country when this happens. Because over here, we just be like, oh, man. and then we just keep going. Some people don't even feel like, oh man, some people just whatever, they don't even have a second thought. But I wonder, like, how do folks in other countries feel when this could potentially be like their data? Are they more outraged? Are they more vocal? Is it a bigger deal?
They may be, I don't know. I just know, like, you know, I forgot how many years was it, 2017, 2018? When they really start making everybody do the GDPR stuff, probably with that. So, I mean, who knows? They're probably trying to think of stuff to pass and figure out all these different things. And like I said, what's going to happen is when they say, hey, from now on, y'all not paying the FCC whatever fines, y'all paying the victims. When they start saying that, they're going to take it much more serious because nobody likes to waste money. But I'm like, if y'all can get breached, y'all getting everybody 10 racks because...
Because now,
back in the day, you can pay for your own like credit monitoring, like as accessible as it is now. Now, exception to Credit Karma, Aura, Norton LifeLock, all these other different services, you can get them through work or you get them for a very low price. Like, so you offering me credit monitoring don't mean nothing to me. I can do it myself.
Especially, I want to know how many people actually utilize the credit monitoring that they're being offered after they have been, after, that's what I'm saying, ever. No one, people barely even open up that mail because it's coming from someone that you probably aren't, you know, familiar with by name.
And because this is one of them things that a checkbox, hey, if you get breached, you got to offer this, you got to do this, you got to do this. So people are like, bro, y'all only doing this because they said y'all got to do it. There's no real benefit. Y'all not ramping nothing up. Like one or two things going to happen. Either they start paying people or people are like, no, but next company that get breached my information, everybody, we going somewhere else. Now, granted, it gets nuanced because, like, sometimes it ain't the main company, it's the third party that got your data, but it's connected to them. So it's like those things. And that's why you got to do more risk assessments and all this other stuff when you're trying to get these different companies. But let's see. Which one I'm going to talk about? Okay. Let's go through some interesting. I always like these topics sometimes. It's a LinkedIn post from some dude, Tyler Wall, MSCCSSPCCSK. I said some dude, but I just don't know who he is. Tyler Wall says, I'm a trainer that's telling you the truth. No, the demand for cybersecurity isn't growing, it's shrinking. No, there isn't a million jobs in cybersecurity or anywhere near it. There are only a few jobs and there are 19 times as many candidates that want them. No, there isn't job security in cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is optional and the budget for it shrinks and grows with how well the company is doing. Some companies shoot for the maximum efficiency, even when doing the best they ever have. So should you pursue cybersecurity, I highly encourage you to pursue it if you like it, but it's going to take motivation that you won't be able to muster if you only kind of like it. And you're going to find yourself scooped up by predatory trainers with false promises that take all your money and leave you without a job. A lot of those predatory trainers are accredited higher education institutions with an out of control marketing department. I feel like the last part. I was with them. And what they say, you had me in the beginning. But towards the end, you're talking about other people so people can come to cyber now. I respect it. Hey, I respect it. So let's decipher all this right here. I believe this is true because I've did, and I can show people right now. Is CyberSeek showing up on the screen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you do job opens, it should show for cybersecurity. Okay. It's showing it's supposed to be almost 500,000. And it's saying the employee workforce of cybersecurity is 1.2 mil. So this is a little bit better. This is a site I've used before, like on one of my lives where we kind of I dove through like what they are actually considering to be cybersecurity jobs and what's not. So let me see if there's anything I could click on that shows. Oh, okay. So I don't know where it's getting the data from, but this seems like a kind of believable number. But the only thing is, like I said, I know for a fact all of these are not actual jobs, strictly cyber, from when I looked through this site before.
I don't think that there's a million jobs either. So I agree with that.
Let me see. Total job openings. They changed it a little bit. Let's go state level. Let's go Texas. So this is for Texas. Now this seems believable. 579. It does seem like that. I don't think there's a lot of cybersecurity people in Texas. I think that's why when they come here, you got a better shot because if you already got a skill set, me personally. So it's pretty interesting though. I haven't went through the site in a minute, but it gives you these little pathways and some training provider. So
I actually like this site.
Yeah. So let me see. It's Houston. Let's see if we go Dallas. Okay, bachelor's degree, all this other stuff. Okay, cool. But go back to Buddy's post. So I see these issues with more entry level roles, maybe mid.
I will say the same. There are jobs. There are not a ton of entry level jobs. Let's hit it right on the ball, like you said. Facts. You either are mid career or you've been in the game for a while. That's what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've been telling people a lot, like a lot of that elementary level one stuff that they used to like, unless a company have a lot of money or they're going to severely underpay it, they're not looking for that. They're looking for like a hybrid of tier two skills and some type of specialty that you may have. She says, I've noticed that there's a bigger push to automate or simplify, and that does mean cost cutting, layouts, or buying another tool. The industry is facing gaps from all types of threats and complex issues. I don't think school is always the answer to this, but I do hope companies look for atypical backgrounds with some technical knowledge to solve these problems. And let's go back to people talking about the industry, because I kind of struggle with the overarching thing of cybersecurity versus, hey, there's cybersecurity in different industries to where some are more stable industries versus you just trying to say cybersecurity isn't stable. I believe any company, whatever industry they're in, that will tell you. So you got retail, hospitality, tech. You have automotive,
healthcare,
logistics, all these different places,
manufacturing, supply chain, banking,
investment banking, fintech. So all these different things, based on how stable they've been over the years, will also dictate on possible changes or different things that may happen at certain companies. And so that's where you kind of got to look at it too. Like, don't just look at cybersecurity. Like, when you're interviewing, if you want to ask a question like, hey, how many times have you guys got a bonus? How many times you missed a bonus? Kind of can give you an idea on how well the company's been performing in the past. And if they're publicly traded, you can kind of look at their stocks and you can look at the news of seeing where the trajectory is going. A lot of people don't do that when they are interviewing. And so sometimes I've seen people get jobs and within a couple of months be laid off again. And whether they're doing a reorg or something like that. So that's some of the stuff you got to pay in. It's not just a cybersecurity problem. It's any type of job.
I feel like the big thing for me is, like, one thing that's like top of mind for me that we were just talking about is like this. I want to clarify this automation piece, especially when we're talking about like IR related jobs. Automation is not investigating that complete incident. That's not how it works. They want a human to actually be able to touch that and say, hey, yep, we're going to go ahead and do whatever these recommendations are. Like the AI, the machine learning, all that stuff, it is helping you know where to focus when it comes to like what's critical. But 9 times out of 10, most companies aren't letting, you know, those automated actions, unless they're very simple, like send an email, send an alert. They're not letting them isolate host and do all these things without someone taking a look at it first. So we are still valuable. We are still needed. People still want a human to be having eyes on these investigations that are occurring. Automation isn't just taking over. AI isn't just doing all of this for us. It's giving us the insights that we need to make, you know, the best decisions going forward, but it's not just completely solving the whole incident for us.
Yeah, no doubt. On top of, when you think about it, still so many things that AI doesn't even do well. Like, you can ask AI to make you something and it don't even spell words right.
Oh, don't even get me started.
And so it's so much stuff that it can't do. A lot of industries don't even really like it right now because of they don't know who owns the data. So, but the automation piece, I think, like I said, it's good for us, like reducing so many tedious tasks that you may have to do where you can automate stuff like that. But it definitely frees you up to do more important things. Like those things that still get done require a human interaction, like you said. So I think
I think what you said is even a better point. Like AI it's amazing. It can do some great things, but it still isn't where folks think it is. Especially like if you don't use these tools, you wouldn't even know. You're just kind of following the hype and going with what the crowd say. But like you just said, AI can't even spell stuff right sometimes. And even when you give it the proper way to spell it 15 times.
Exactly. Let's see this. This is the twofer for LinkedIn. This is the only two LinkedIn posts I had. Stuart Mitchell says, I'm seeing more I'm hiring posts in cybersecurity over the last 30 days than I've seen the last 2 years. Anecdotal data, sure, but I'm pretty perceptive. Here's what I'm noticing. SaaS companies that froze in place are thawing and hiring again. Consulting and service firms, especially in DFIR and business continuity, are seemingly crushing it. AI companies are maturing, creating net new security roles as they scale. And FANG, they're hiring more. Let's be honest. 50% of a company's business strategy is often just follow FANG. What does this mean? Stay open, but stay sharp. Keep an ear out for new opportunities, but be mindful. Think about how companies have navigated the last 2 years and factor that into your decision-making process. Hiring is about to get tougher again. If you're a company, what worked for you hiring strategy in 2023 or early 2024 may not cut it in 2025. Movement is at the IC and mid-management level for now. Most of the hiring boom is happening below the leadership level. That said, I expect and hope leadership hiring will pick up more fluidly in 2025. Watch out for the AI-generated resumes. This is the first hiring upswing since tools like ChatGPT became mainstream. Your perfect candidate might require a deeper vetting beyond, wow, they did the exact same thing as a competitor on paper. You know what? He's bringing up a good use case that we'll probably start breaking down in a second. I'm glad the market is warming up. It's been a tough couple of years seeing so many great people struggle to find work or feel stuck in roles that they're miserable in. Of course, I have a vested interest in a more active hiring market, but beyond that, I truly want everyone in this ecosystem to find what they want and deserve. Here's to hopefully better days on the horizon.
I actually like the post.
I do. Let's see what the comments say. It's not that many. Dan, I want to say it's either chow or cow. I don't know. I've seen so many resumes that seemingly are perfectly tailored towards my role. Dig a little deeper and it's a farce. Alternatively, have seen bare resumes that speak more to me than alphabet soup certification. There you go, Dan. There you go, Dan. Kevin C. Remote roles are up too. A month ago, I would see 11.5 to 12K remote roles listed on LinkedIn, but now it's been a steady 13 to 14K. Lewis Singleton. It's been an interesting few months, but generally speaking, GTM SaaS roles on the up. Already seeing the competitive landscape shift already with candidates having multiple ops again. My advice, change your perception on how you offer. It's quickly gone from what's in it for you to what's in it for them. Excellent insights as always. This is the entire market, not just cyber. I think companies feel comfortable hiring at the election between the stock market going up and jobs open everywhere. I agree. Companies would be crazy not to see this as an opportunity to build their cyber teams. Okay, yeah.
Help me understand the logic behind, I don't understand the logic behind a company hiring because the election is over. Is it because like they're in their head, they're like, this candidate is more, you know, is more in line with what I want to do?
Some of that
we see, you know,
but most of it's business oriented, like crypto and stocks and everything's been going crazy since the election and the winner was announced. They remember that person was more so for businesses and cutting tax rates and stuff like that. So like when we talk about these things, one person, if they're going to make more cuts to the companies, that means the companies has more money they can hire people with. When you tax the companies higher, that means they're going to cut costs in some areas to where they may not be hiring as much. It's always a catch 22 with everything. So the businesses know that and they know that, okay, when these people going to try to force people to come back into work. So that's going to also help out some of the surrounding companies and things because we have these high paying people working around our businesses. Everything's connected. It's like from years ago when I did whatever video I did with Eric, and we're talking about how Manhattan said they were losing out like $1 billion due to remote work. So you'll see stuff like that, that kind of like influences everything, but people kind of don't really pay attention to it. That's why even like in the end of 2022, 2 years ago, there was so much uncertainty into the market in 2023 that a lot of hiring stopped in Q4 and then reopened to about February or March of next year because they didn't know what was going to happen in 2023.
Have you survived anything like what happened? What was that last year? Yeah, that was, I was unsettled for like more than half the year.
What you mean? Elaborate.
With all the tech layoffs that were happening, I mean, layoffs happen, but for me personally, since I've been, you know, in my career field, I have never experienced anything like that before in my life. Granted, I haven't necessarily been in, you know, cyber for 10 years, but I've never seen anything like the mass amount of folks being laid off was crazy.
Yeah. I've seen it before. I think the difference is more people are more vocal on social media. So that's why I seem like it was more than what it is. Like, if we got the data that showed, let me see some tech layoffs. And
do you remember what it was like for you during the recession? Was it the same? No.
So I don't really remember much. I wasn't really. Yeah, because like recession 08, and then we came out of recession probably a little bit right after I graduated, like 2013. And so it was a little bit different then. Stuff still wasn't plentiful. It was still kind of shaking back. I found some articles on it, and that may be something we actually do. Like look over tech layoffs. So it says, I mean, Dice has an article that says 60% more tech pros lost jobs in 2024 versus 2023. So that may be like a special episode where we deep dive on it because all of it isn't kind of like exactly what it seems. Just for the fact that, like I said, there are people who were not doing work that got cut. And then there are people that actually were doing work that got cut. There were companies who just were not doing good financially. there are companies that were doing good, and so they felt like they got what they needed. It's like a lot of nuances when it goes into that. Or maybe they're trying to prepare for something so they can right size, or they're restructuring. Like, I know for us, it seemed like ours came out of left field. Like, at McAfee, we thought McAfee was doing good. We literally just got a brand new sock built in that building and off headquarters in Preston. And like I said, you come in late January to them saying, hey, we laying people off. And we kind of like, what? We thought we was doing good. But we don't. So I'm going to tie back into something I said earlier. I was naive then. I knew that we got, so how I initially got hired, technically I worked for Intel for about a month. Then it transferred over from Intel to McAfee. Where during that time, McAfee was bought by some private investors because they wanted to make it profitable again and do some other stuff. So at that time, I'm naive because I'm thinking everything's going to still be going as it is. They're going to try to get the money back. I didn't know that, hey, this is a new acquisition. This might come with some cuts. And that's what happened. So knowing that, I didn't understand at that time. It's like, this came out so left field. And it's kind of one of those, I think, did I put it? I don't know if I made a post about this or whatever, but I was talking about like people getting laid off. And most everybody probably get laid off maybe once in their career because it's just one of them things that happens. And
I think now it might even be more than once in your career. It might be a few times with how things are going now and the way that the industry is like just pivoting, but it's turning and really quick, really sharp, really fast.
Yeah. So that's why I was saying pay attention to certain industries. Like, I know my industry, they may have layoffs sometimes, but it's not a lot. It's a little bit, or they're right sizing, or but that I didn't hear a lot about in my industry of people getting laid off. I knew some, but mostly you didn't. You can also tell sometimes too, like when they're just a plentiful of resources, sometimes you can like kind of thinking back, it's like, man, it's a lot of people. Are all of us really busy? Like when you start kind of thinking about that, like, are we lean? Like,
Yeah, I think we should maybe do an episode. I think maybe we should do an episode on like some signs that you should be on the lookout for. Like if this starts happening at work, then, you know, that could be an indication that your position could potentially no longer be needed. Like I know I was in a row and they didn't know what we were doing. They literally didn't know what we were doing. They were like, yeah, tell us what you're doing. I was like, I don't think that's good that you're asking me what we're doing. I don't think that's a good. And that rogue ended up getting eliminated.
Yeah. I mean, I know, I think when I was working at, Was that JPMC? We were just having to let them know, like, hey, what are we doing? What does our team do? A lot of people didn't know what my team did. So that is a thing. Like, hey,
and that's not good.
It's not. But to focus on something real quick, when they talk about the AI resumes, that goes back into the North Korea thing with the IT workers of saying, hey, when you get these resumes, throw them into Google, seeing how much stuff shows up from somebody else's resume to see if it's legit or not. So that's the thing, because you can say, hey, create me a software engineering resume to apply to a FAANG company, and it'll look good on paper. And this is why I've been telling people, hey, them days of, you know, your resume just being the NLB all are over, because now based on the level you interview at, you're going to have some stories and be able to have some skill sets outside the box. If you don't have no stories to pull from, you're going to be tough sledding, and you're just going to have to network your way into something.
And the stories, when you are, they want you to talk about stuff that they know is actually typical to happening.
Yeah. Or like if it needs, some stuff needs to be relevant to the job. Like I said, if you're pivoting, as long as it's relevant to like what you did there and it would translate over to something you might have to do with the job, it's fine. So like the last episode, which I think you'll like because she came from claims, and then she used to do, I think she was an account executive at Lincoln, doing something else with a similar like to insurance claims or whatever. And she was telling us about people trying to do freaking what's that thing you get, short term disability and long term disability fraud and stuff like that.
Yes. Time after time after time after time. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we were talking about things like that, but she was saying how she was able to network. She like, because everybody in the comments, they're not listening to the video. I said, oh, so all she had was the Google Cybersecurity Professional Certificate. I'm like, yes, but that's not really the crux of how she got her job. It's like, it really came from being strategic in the networking part and her having a lot of transferable skills to do her role. So
that makes me think about how, if I had to go be a claim specialist now, how much better at it I would be, like investigating.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember I had a guy who fell, and I had to prove that he fell, right? And it got really gritty. Like I was calling all these businesses, hey, do you have cameras? How do I go about getting the footage? And just stuff that, yeah, you know, people can get footage, but your insurance company is looking for stuff like that. But if you don't know, right, you're not even thinking about that type of stuff.
I'm charged enough. If y'all asked for footage, I would have sent you the commercial, the Life Alert commercial. Help, I'm falling. I can't get up.
Well, no, we didn't ask them for footage. We don't ask the customer for footage.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm talking about if I worked at the company. Like if you was the business asking me, I would have sent y'all that.
Yeah, but no, like there's what happens is that they actually they contract another company out to like perform these investigations. So like instead of me going to investigate your social media, right? Because
that's probably pretty fun, though. Now I think about it, like you get to go put your little secret squirrel hat on and stuff.
But even you being specific in a request on what you want, like what you're trying to get out of the request, like you can't just say like, yeah, I want you to look at their social media. Like, no. Customer has blah blah blah, we're looking for signs of blah blah blah. Just like if you were to go have like a physical surgery or something and you're out of work for an extended period of time, but you're on Facebook dancing around on that new hip you just got when you're supposed to be relaxing, and but you're on short-term disability, it's just you're not connecting all of those dots.
That's what happened. She said somebody was talking about they was sick or something like that, and then they checked Facebook and they was on vacation, or telling people they was on vacation. Like it was stupid stuff. It's funny,
but people don't think about that. No one who doesn't know is thinking my insurance company about to be looking for me and seeing what I'm doing. Someone with more knowledge is thinking that, but most people aren't even considering that as a thought.
Right, right. And let me get this last article out of the way. It's one of my favorite companies, one of my favorite tools to use that I always bring up in any interview when I ask about their cloud security strategy, Wiz. Wiz acquires DAS for $450 million to expand its cybersecurity platform. And shout out to Wiz, man. Wiz told Google, they gave him the big
F. Oh, I remember that.
Wiz, one of the most talked about names in the world of cybersecurity, is making a significant acquisition to expand its product reach in cloud security. Particularly with developers, it is buying DAS, a specialist in security remediation and risk management, and according to sources familiar with the matter, this is a cash and share deal valued at $450 million. The price tag is a tad higher than DAS's last valuation when it raised $50 million on a post-money valuation of just under $400 million. And cool, I need to look this platform up for some more because this is cool. Security remediation and risk management, because this, especially for the cloud, can go into what we was talking about earlier with vulnerability management and different things you got to do. I wonder what Prisma is doing right now, because I like Wiz way better than Palo Alto Prisma. But remediation and posture management, the two areas where DAS focuses, are key services in the cybersecurity market that Wiz was not covering as well as it wanted to. DAS is a leader in this market with the best talent and best customers, and it's a great culture fit, says Asas Rapoport, Wiz's CEO, in an interview. Remediation, which refers to helping to understand and resolve vulnerabilities, shapes how an enterprise handles the many vulnerability alerts it might receive across its networks. Posture management is a more preemptive product. It gives an organization a better understanding of the size, shape, and function of its network so it can build better security services. Hey, that's a big one. I think a lot of the companies, when we see these breaches happen, they are not sure or they don't know about how their security posture really is. And they're taking all these companies in just because they're making profits. They're not looking at, are we safe? DAS will continue to operate as a separate entity while it's integrated into the larger company stack. Wiz has built the name for itself as a one-stop shop, and Rapoport said an integrated offering will continue to be a major part of that strategy. He believes the contrast with a lot of other SaaS businesses in the security industry, there are Let me read that again. He believes that the contrast with a lot of other SaaS businesses in the security industry, there are a lot of Frankenstein mashups where companies are prioritizing revenues over building one technology stack that actually works as a platform. Arguably, integration is even more important in cybersecurity than in other areas of enterprise IT. Let's see. It's a lot of stuff on here. Wiz and Das already had a close relationship going into this deal. Marav Bahat, the CEO who co-founded Das with Tomer Schwartz and Yuval Ofer, worked closely with Asaf Rafpaport at Microsoft, which acquired his previous startup, Adalon. Makes sense. It's tracking right here. Because this is the networking thing we talk about, how, hey, I know you know how to do this. You know how to do this. Let's go make our startup companies and make a lot of money later on. Bahat was one of the Adalon's first investors after Rapport left to found Wiz with Adalon co-founders Amy Lutwak. And, you know, I'm not going to read all that, man. Let's go to the next thing. That's not the only merger acquisition chatter to involve Wiz. Earlier this year, Google tried to buy Wiz for $23 billion to build a significant cybersecurity business. Wiz walked away from the deal partly because Rapport said he believes the company could become an even bigger business on its own terms. That is what Wiz is aiming for with this deal. The acquisition is one of a run for Wiz, which earlier this year filled its coffers with $1 billion, especially for merger acquisition. The company has raised nearly $2 billion in total, and we've heard that another round will close in several more weeks. If other deals have included the purchase of Gem Security for $350 million, but Das is its biggest acquisition yet. There may be more mergers and acquisitions to come. We believe that next year is going to be a year of acquisitions for us. Developers need more help. Let's see. They don't care about all that stuff. But yeah, I wanted to touch on that because Wiz, like I said, is one of my favorite tools. And I like to see how companies are investing back into their businesses and how they plan to get better, how they plan to stay current with the market, how they plan to separate themselves from what somebody else offers. So I think that's pretty cool. So definitely I'm excited for that and what Wiz is going to offer. And yeah, just seeing how Wiz actually gets better throughout as the years come. So that's what my thoughts on Wiz are.
My thoughts is Wiz took a gamble on themselves and it actually paid off, right? They looked at Google like, oh, y'all wouldn't give us this much money? Oh, well, then we know we can get way more. Exactly. Yep. They didn't just fall for the okie doke. This was a question I had that I forgot to ask you, top of mind. But in your experience, do you feel like the folks that you've worked with over the last decade or whatever, do you feel like they have been outside of the big stuff, but do you feel like they monitor kind of what's going on?
Not all of them. A lot of people have been older. So a lot of them are like just working, going home, spending time with the kids. Other people who are in those roles where they're having to get new services and look for new products, they are. And then there are people like me who are like anomalies to what we do, stuff like this that makes me pay attention to other stuff just because it's cool. So no, to your answer, no, there aren't a lot of people that do that.
Yeah, but everybody says that the reason I bring that up is because everyone says that, oh, I watch the news, oh, I do this, I do that. But a lot of the times folks don't know what even, they don't even know, they can't even name a site that they go look at tech or cyber news from.
Yeah, I think it's some people like early on, but like once you get in your, like I said, when most people when you get in this field, you're working with like 40 and 50 and 60 year olds. Because it's a relatively, it's not so new, but it's new in terms of like the more people getting in. A lot of people just transition to it because they have been working for a while and doing other things. So by the time you get to that age, like you're really just trying to make it to retirement, unless you're a person that's like C-level where you have to be able to know these different tools that are out here, these competitors, or your job is tied to that and how you make money.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Guys. Do not forget to leave us voicemails on thetextualtalk.com. That way you guys can tell us how you feel, or a question that you want us to answer, and we can listen to it live and we can answer it. So please, 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 please utilize that feature or send us an email at the group message. I'm sorry. Or send us an email to our shared inbox to where we can answer you that way as well. But I think the voicemails will be cool and more a little bit more interactive. So please make sure that you utilize those. You guys are watching. This is the week of Thanksgiving, whether you celebrate or not. I hope you get time to be off from work and enjoy your family and friends. And, you know, just relax. I think it's been a crazy couple last couple of weeks. Really been a crazy year. All the stuff we've been seeing, for us millennials, we kind of just lived like through some of the worst times of being an adult, but hey, we still here. Did you want to add any parting words to the listeners?
I would say just unplug and enjoy this season that is approaching us, this holiday season with your loved ones. Just it's okay to unplug and unwind a little bit. It's been a lot going on this year, like you said, last year too. So I feel like I don't have anything heavy. Take some time, unwind and unplug so you can come back recharged and you can hit the ground running to accomplish whatever your goals are, you know, that you are actually trying to accomplish.
Right. And I do not think, man, we didn't even get a chance to even get into like movies or whatever. So we'll definitely probably tie that the next time. I know I recently just let the girls watch Baby Geniuses. Well, it really was watching it for me. So they was watching it with me. They're one of my favorite little movies from the 2000s. So I love that movie. So,
what about Wicked?
What's Wicked?
You never seen Wicked?
No, I haven't. What's that? I think I've been seeing it on social media. Is that the one with the lady, the musical or something like that?
Yeah. It's like, it's popular, like The Wizard of Oz. But I think it like plays on it. I don't know. I've seen a version of it before, like live. It was pretty decent when I did, but it just came out.
Bet. I'm gonna check that out. And I need to figure out when they're gonna do the second part of Beauty and Black.
Lord.
That show was a mess. But nah, man. As always, I appreciate y'all for rocking with us, man. I hope y'all really enjoyed this episode. Gave y'all something to listen to before Thanksgiving. And we'll see y'all next time. And we out. Peace.